for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, we answer the question, what if cocaine made a movie about sharks? It is the 1983 Jaws 3D. And joining me are two other reasons why I love Canada. It is Tim and Dean from Talking Back. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
And
hey, yo.
Hi. So I have to know, what is y'all's background with this? Obviously, you're brothers, so... And I know one of you is like a biscuit older than the other one, so.
You want to go first, Biscuit?
I can go first, sure. I'm one quarter Jaws 3D, so.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, I well, I'm the big Jaws head in the family. Jaws is my favorite movie of all time, one of my top franchises. It's famously documented on our podcast that when I watched Jaws the first time when I was six, I thought Jaws was the hero and I cried at the end when Jaws got killed and I didn't really understand.
Aww.
So, yeah. So I've had a strong relationship with all the Jaws movies throughout my life. And yeah, this one, I can't really put my finger on when I saw it for the first time, but I definitely know like my most famous memory of it and how it sort of like shaped me as a kid. So I don't know if we want to get on into that.
Yes,
right now.
Absolutely. Tell me about this. I would love to hear this.
Okay. So as a family, we used to go, now we live in Canada. We're kind of close to the border. So back in the day, it was worth it for us to go to the US. They had stuff that we didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
The dollar wasn't quite as bad back then, so we could get deals. So we'd often take trips down on like a long weekend or spring break or something, or in the summer, we'd get to stay in a hotel, we'd get a poolside room, and it was just the greatest thing for a kid. You know, you get to go to the toy store, KB Toys.
Oh, KB! I miss KB.
Yeah, dad would lace our pockets with some money, we'd get toys, and it's just a great time. So along with that, you go to the hotel, and hotels back then always had like the movie channels that we couldn't even get in Canada. And they just run all day long, all sorts of cool movies that we loved, like Jaws, you know, the Star Wars movies, Superman movies, just all the best stuff. So I've got this one specific memory about just watching Jaws 3 in the hotel and like during commercial breaks, running out of the room and jumping in the pool and swimming and then coming back and watching this movie and playing with these new toys that I've bought. So it's just one of my all-time favorite memories, and it's, you know, based around this movie. So yeah, I just continue to watch all four of them throughout my life, and this is how I sort of break them down. Is I think Jaws 1 is the best movie, like the best all round.
Clearly,
Jaws 2 is the one that I've seen the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the one that I was able to get on, like, record off of TV back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the one I just binged over and over again. Jaws 3 is, I think, my favorite of the bunch. It's the one, if you ask me now, which one do you want to sit down to today and watch? It's always Jaws 3. I have so much fun with it. And Jaws 4, I just, like, yeah, it's bad.
We just deal with it. Right. Jaws 4
yeah,
is, like, the cousin you have to invite to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean,
but, you know.
Jaws 4 is the reason there aren't any more. So,
yeah.
Got some great stuff in it, though. Some great underwater shots in Jaws 4. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Now, Dean, what's your background with Jaws 3?
So growing up with that, with Tim, who loves
with
it,
that.
I was
with
what
right.
you just said.
Growing up with that.
With the story you just told.
That was good.
Growing up with that story. Yeah, I was around Jaws all the time because Tim would be watching many of them, whatever one he would be watching. I have memories from all of them being young. I never quite put them together of which one was which. It took me till I got a bit older to realize, okay, this one was Jaws 2, this one was Jaws 3. But when I was about probably in the range of 10 to 12, I started to want to get into the Jaws movies a bit more. And this is the one that I watched the most, specifically because it was a little bit more fun.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I wasn't as scared of it. I was a scaredy cat when I was a kid. So I was not as afraid of this one, even though there were still things in it that would, kind of give me nightmares and haunt me a bit. It was enough of a scare for me. It was enough of a scare movie that I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the things that it had to scare me. So this is the one that I watched probably the most. I do, when Tim's saying he watched Jaws 2 the most, I do remember a lot from Jaws 2. Like when I revisited it as an adult, I was like, oh yeah, I have seen a lot of this stuff because probably being around Tim watching it. But I think this one, when I got to be like 10, 11, 12, was the one that I would watch the most. Because yeah, it was fun. So I love this movie as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's why I wanted to have you guys on, was because I had originally done Jaws 3 when the show started with somebody else, and I was like listening back to it, and I'm like, yeah. So I went through and like systematically like deleted it and was like, I'm doing this. I'm gonna do this with my talking back boys because these are people who actually genuinely love it, like I love it. And so Jaws 3 was the first Jaws movie I ever saw. I was 5 years old, and
Nice.
my dad. I was watching like Nickelodeon, and back in the day, Nickelodeon would turn into another channel after a certain period of time. So like at like 8 o'clock or something like that, it would flip, right? So unbeknownst to me, my father had changed the channel, and he had changed it, and it happened to land on Overman's death in Jaws 3. So
Right.
Yikes.
that was like my first introduction into it, and I was just like, what is this? Like just this like wide-eyed 5-year-old girl, and I loved it, and I watched it over and over and over again. I can quote it backwards and forwards. My boyfriend was just delighted to sit there with me and do lines back and forth from Jaws 3. And we were talking about this before you got on here, Tim. Was this is This is 100%. This movie is what people think of Florida. Like
Okay.
this is because
I like it.
it has all of the things that people when they think of Florida in more of a derogatory way, as do I, and I live here, they think of Florida white trash, bad accents, rednecks, people playing stupid games in bars, just cocaine, all of these things. And then this movie just has it all in spades, right? So when I was watching it, I was like, this is what people think of us. Like, they just think it's just like a bunch of weird southern accents and cowboy boots and water parks. So
Well, what comes to mind for me whenever I think Florida is gators and like boa constrictors. That's
okay.
all that crosses my mind. So
Interesting.
whenever I
Okay.
think, hey, should I go to Florida? I'm like, I
No.
think I'll pass because
Yeah.
a couple of things I just am like utterly terrified of. And apparently you have a lot of them there.
Oh, yeah,
I
we
see
do.
we see videos up here. We get those whatever TikTok videos of gigantic gators walking on golf courses and
Just
stuff like
hanging
that.
out in
Right.
people's houses. They break
Yeah.
in through the doggy door. That's
Exactly.
a thing that
Just
happens
hanging
all the
out.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
No,
I
thank
just feel
you.
like that's not something I need in my life, but
Yeah.
No.
I'll take
No.
your word for the rest of this stuff.
All the time. I watched this on Netflix. Thanks, Netflix, because it has this gorgeous restoration. Now, keep in mind, I also own a Blu-ray, a DVD, and some three situation where all the movies are on like one DVD or whatever. But I was just like, I'm super lazy. So I was like, gosh, I wonder who's streaming. And lo and behold, it was Netflix, and I was very happy because it's gorgeous. It's exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Now, granted, and we will talk about the special effects question mark in this movie. But the rest of it, like the scenes where the sun is setting and the night
Oh
stuff
yeah.
and everything and the underwater stuff is restored. And so it just looks beautiful. So yes, folks, if you are going to watch Jaws 3 for the awesomeness that it is, yeah, check it out on Netflix because it's an actually really beautiful restoration.
Yeah, and if you're not gonna watch it, please message Aaron and tell us why not. Like, why wouldn't you just watch it?
I
Right?
know People, and this is a very divisive movie because people
It
really
is.
are like, oh, it's so terrible and it's just got the worst special effects and blah blah blah. But I feel like, though that is true, this is a 1983 special effects, you know, we didn't have a lot to work with, kids. It's still, to me, the drama holds up, the comedy stuff holds up. I think the acting is actually really good. I love it. I don't care. I mean, also it's fun to see SeaWorld in the 80s too, 'cause for us who grew up with SeaWorld, you know, it's you know, it is. It's like, oh wow, I remember that. And yeah.
It's
Yeah, I
definitely
think
a
this.
cozy feeling in the movie. I can speak briefly to the effects though, because it's something that we've talked about before on our podcast, because we reviewed all four of the Jaws very long time ago. There are some of the first ones we did, but I had dug up some information that, so it's Jaws 3D, right? There's supposed to be these 3D effects. The only time the true 3D was ever shown was in the theater. After that, they didn't have the same. I don't know if it was the footage or the way that it was run on the projectors, but something they couldn't recapture that. So what you're seeing is sort of like a fake 3D. So when you watch it, I've watched it in 3D, and I have a 3D TV,
Oh, you do?
and it's
Okay, so that's a whole other story.
some of the effects look pretty good, you know, like when you see the weird lettering at the beginning with the long streaks, that's all for the 3D effect. And that fish's head that gets bit at the beginning, Overman's arm, all of that looks a little bit better because it's supposed to be 3D. But I think if we were able to see that in the true 3D format that it was actually created in, I think those scenes that look kind of cheesy and stupid would actually pop and look excellent. I don't think there'd be that meme of Jaws going through the glass at the end, because if that was in the true 3D, I think it would have looked way better. But
Agreed.
I think everybody knows, like, if you're watching 3D and it's not in 3D, it looks weird. And I think that's what we're
Absolutely.
getting. So that's why the
For sure.
effects are they're kind of bad, because you know it's not truly what we're supposed to be seeing.
Agreed. Agreed completely on that. Actually, because, okay, so to that point, if you think about like the gore in Jaws 3. And this is funny because this is a PG rated movie, guys.
Yeah.
This was not an R-rated film. You know, this was not a, you know, under 17, not admitted without parent or guardian. It wasn't like that. So this movie was on HBO all the time. Like uncut, you know, all the time, right? And Overman's death and Overman's discovery of his corpse are horrifying. We were watching this and we were like pausing it, right? Because we were just like, oh my God, look, like you can see, he's been flayed,
Yeah.
like all the skin is gone, it's just organs and you know, I mean, it bro, it's great, it's fantastic, I love that.
Yeah, and there's some kind of like snake in his mouth or something. Like that
Oh,
was one
there's a
of the
snake
moments.
that comes out of his mouth. There's
Yeah.
a crab that's just like battling for, you know, sovereignty. Like he's over here. And that, yeah, and then the snake comes out of his mouth and it's like, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, no. So
When I was a kid, that was one of the moments. There was a couple of them, but that was one of the moments that I had to learn the timestamp and fast forward through the VHS because I knew it was coming
Because
up.
you're like, no, I don't want to see
Yeah, I was
that.
like, no,
Yeah.
I can't watch that. I cannot see that. I can watch this movie, but I cannot watch that part. I have to fast forward.
Well, Dean,
Absolutely.
you mentioned earlier that Jaws 3 it's like the fun vibe one,
Yeah.
which I completely agree with because of all the fun stuff in SeaWorld and all that. It is the most fun one. But I think it's the scariest one. I
Yeah.
think that it has the best or the most jump scares. Like the underwater
Yes.
shots are very, very dark. You know, a lot of them are at night, so
Right.
that much of it is scary. And yeah, same. This was the one Jaws movie that I had to turn away from at certain times. I had to ask Dad to just let me know, you know, when it's coming, and I'll look away, and then let me know when it's done. Because of some of those shots, like some of that stuff was so disgusting for a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And th Yeah, and this was the one that actually gave me nightmares. So while I think people forget how scary this one is, it gets that goofy label, but if you rewatch it, it's quite terrifying.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I
And it
mean, no, all of the everything that you said, I agree with. Go ahead.
and I think it gets it like it is goofy because they go on like full on 80s slasher basically by this movie, I feel like. Where like the first movie, you know, obviously a very, very serious movie, very good movie, and then the second one is just trying to be the first again. The second one's just doing like, let's do Jaws again. But then by this point, there's been a bunch of Friday the 13th movies already. Like by the time it's 83, it's just like, okay, it's slasher time. It's slasher killer time. And those are kind of goofy, where the characters have these bonding times. We kind of love the characters in those movies. And then, you know, there's a little bit of gore in them as well. And this, to me, this one falls right in there. It falls right into 80s slasher mode, which is just a type of movie I love. I love the way that they're low budget. I love the way they're acted. I love when everybody's getting along. So yeah, this one is I think that's why I love it so much now, because it just is, it's goofy, but it also is scary, just like it is falling into one of those 80s slashers.
Absolutely. And I think that I really love the characters in this. I find myself, especially as a 45-year-old woman, who will be, getting engaged eventually. I love the relationship between Kay and Mike. Like, Kay and Mike to me are a couple goals all the way, right? and so watching it as an adult, especially one, that is in a serious relationship, a long-term relationship, it's a different layer for me now, 'cause it's like, yeah, absolutely. It's like I got my man's back, right? Like, I love that, she has this, she's like, you build the stuff, I swim around in it. That was the deal, right? And she's like, I am going diving with a shark. And he's like, you're crazy, but I love you and I support you and I'm here. And if, just, it's awesome. Their dynamic is fantastic. Like, yeah, just, I love K, Team K and Mike,
Totally. Yeah, I think they're a great couple. Like they're adults. You know, they're people that have their career. They're their own person. You know, they're independent people who are just clearly in love and have each other's back. And I love that about them too.
Love it so much. Yeah, it's, I
Yeah,
think it really just makes it.
Best Armstrong's performance is so strong in the movie. Like, she pops off the screen. She's
For
the
sure.
true hero of the movie, in my opinion. She carries a lot of it just with her. Just how like well she's doing acting, but just how lovable she is, like as her character, but also the actress playing the character.
Yeah, and she's, that character is just very, like, she's very smart, and very well spoken, and but she's also very sweet, like with the way she treats Sean, and she's very funny with the way she handles Philip Fitzroyce when he tries to hit on her, and then at the same time, I like that you mentioned, it's like she has her own thing going on, right? When Dennis Quaid is like, I have to go to Venezuela, and she's like, well, I love you and we have been together 18 months or whatever. But I have 6 months left here at this job, and there's also a job coming to me from the Scripps Institute. So yeah. But then it was kind of like at the end, she's like, well, all right, compromise. She's like, maybe Venezuela could use some trained whales. And she's like, I'll come to you. And he's like, next year, he's like, I'll follow you anywhere. And it really is, it's just like a testament to their relationship, the way that they are, because she kind of like lets down a little bit of her guard with him, and she's like, okay, she's like, all right, I'm gonna follow you because this is for real. This is a solid relationship. So yeah, I'll follow you to Venezuela. Next year, we go to San Diego, So
Yeah, after they all almost die, Venezuela doesn't look so bad anymore.
Oh yeah, I know. And like, it's so funny. Like, she's putting on her gear, right? And Louis Gossett Jr. does the double take and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, he needs eyes in the back of his head. And it's like, damn, girl, she's so good. You
Yeah.
know? Like, that was a good moment for sure.
Yeah.
this one's great. All right. So the movie essentially is, it takes place at SeaWorld, filmed at SeaWorld in Florida. And Dennis Quaid is quoted in many, many articles as saying that he is high on cocaine for every single frame of this film. And it shows.
Yep. You can tell in every
Yep.
single frame.
You can tell. He was actually dating Leah Thompson at the time. It's also important to point out that Dennis Quaid was in fact married when this movie came out, but he was dating Leah Thompson at the time. He plays Mike Brody, which, you know, if you follow canon, this is the son of Martin, you know, from the first one. And then Sean, his brother, now goes to college somewhere in Colorado where they wear cowboy boots. Sure. Okay, whatever. And they all work in the park, right? And so essentially a shark has gotten loose and is messed with the gate and threw the gate off of the, what is it, the gear? Is that what happened?
Yeah, just like knocked it off its track or
It's
something.
track. Thank
Yeah,
you.
yeah.
Yeah, thank. It's 7:57 here in Florida. No, but yes, it knocked it off the track. And so Dennis Quaid's like, look, Tom Selleck lookalike with big shoulders, Shelby Overman, you have to do a dive, at the worst possible time to dive for sharks, by the way.
Yeah.
Because
Sundown.
everybody knows sundown is the worst possible time. Sundown and sunup, that's when sharks feed. So he goes down to fix the gate and ends up getting eaten by the shark. And the shark is now, the shark is already in in the park, because of course we know later on, because Kay will explain one of my favorite lines from the movie. And Kay is the head marine biologist there, and essentially they are getting ready for the opening of the Undersea Kingdom, which is like a, I want to say it's an underwater set of tunnels. And then and which yes, there's 100 gallons of salt water, fresh salt water being, what is it, being pumped in there every hour. He says
Right.
that twice.
He's very proud.
Yeah.
Yes, he's very proud of that. I like the fact that, like, we have this Calvin Bouchard character who is introduced as being in charge of SeaWorld, played by Louis Gossett Jr. Huge in 83. 83 was a good time for him, because we had like Officer and a Gentleman, Iron Eagle, and this one. And he, they make reference, Ginger Spice comes out, and he's like, yes, I'm taking, questions from, the press. And he says, we want to avoid references to his colorful past. And I'm like, what did he
Yeah. Give us that movie.
right? I'm like, what was he? Was he like an ex-football player? Like, what? So Philip Fitzroyce comes to visit SeaWorld. And when I was a kid, I just thought he was like a crocodile hunter guy.
Same, yeah.
Like a wildlife enthusiast or something like that. And then when I'm watching it as an adult, I was like, oh, he's a photographer. He's a wildlife photographer, but he's a photographer. And he has a traveling companion named Jack, and we don't really know why.
They're best buds.
Just
Yeah, they're best
really,
friends.
really
They're
close.
best buds,
Just
yeah.
close.
It's lonely to travel all alone.
Right,
Everybody
yeah.
needs a Jack to travel with.
It is. And Jack calls Philip Fitzroyce governor. That's a,
All the time.
all the
Yep.
time.
Actually,
Love it.
Governor.
Jack strikes me as the type of guy who just wouldn't take no for an answer. He'd just be like, I'm coming with you and I don't care what you say.
Totally.
He's like, all right, carry my
Yeah.
equipment, will
Yeah,
you?
carry my bag.
Great. And I was trying to figure out like where the shark fits in here, right? So I'm like, okay, so is this the cousin of Bruce? Like, because it's Brucette, you know, because it's Big Mama Brucette,
Yeah.
and then Baby Bruce, who we know is a boy because they make reference to it. So I'm thinking it's the cousins of the first one. Maybe,
Makes sense.
you
Yeah.
know, it would make sense.
Yeah. Or siblings could be a sibling.
It could be a sibling. You're right. You're
Yeah.
right. It's absolutely right. And then we meet the Cindy and Sandy dolphin duo. So Cindy and Sandy, when I was a kid, were like the coolest thing ever. Right?
Yeah. Were they real? Were they actually like an
Those are
exhibit
real
at
trained
SeaWorld?
dolphins. Yes,
Yeah.
yes. Like Cindy and Sandy are trained dolphins. Shamu's obviously Shamu. But
Yeah.
Casper, the beluga whale that you see halfway through the movie that they're feeding the fish to, he's also, well, he was. I mean, all of these animals are sadly passed away at this point, but yes, they were real. They were part of 80s SeaWorld life. So
That's cool.
anyway.
I never knew that they were actually like Cindy and Sandy were there. Those are their real names?
I don't know if those are their real names. Is
I think
that their
so.
real names? Okay.
Yeah, I
Okay.
think they are, at least in the credits, I think it says Cindy and Sandy. So I think that is their names. Yeah. And like Bess Armstrong was like riding one of them. Like
Oh yeah.
that's amazing. That's amazing to get into the really get into the role.
What I love about the behind the scenes of this, and you can only find it on YouTube, and was like a special that was on like Entertainment Tonight or whatever, was everybody was very excited. Now, granted, Dennis Quaid was not interviewed for this, but Louis Gossett Jr. and Bess Armstrong were very excited to be doing this movie, and they were very excited to get it correct, right? They like Bess Armstrong looked like she was studying and she was doing everything and she was learning about the marine life, and Louis Gossett Jr. was so delighted to be part of it. So I think everybody went in there with just like the best of intentions, you know?
Yeah.
Which I love
It definitely
because,
shows
you
with
know,
those two characters. Like you can tell
for sure. They did
how
their
like great of
work.
a job. Yeah, I mean some of the other ones, I don't know if they're just not as, you know, good at acting, but you can definitely feel a difference between, you know, performances in the movie. And that's fine. Like I think it adds to the kind of the flavor that the movie has. I find it really interesting, but yeah, they're definitely the top two.
And so Philip Fitzroyce is played by Simon McCorkindale, who are 80s fans will know from a show called Manimal back in the day.
Nice.
Yeah. And then
Was he the manimal?
he was the manimal.
He
Yes.
was. Wow. Okay. Wow. You kind of have to What
be a
is a
manimal
manimal?
with,
I
with
don't
the
know.
name
That's a
McCorkindale.
Yeah, dude, that was a show that I did, but he was also on like a show where he was like a detective or something. We had so many shows that came on in the 80s. But he was in that, and then Jack is played by P.H. Moriarty, who my boyfriend pointed out is in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh,
Nice.
yeah,
He's like an
right,
old crime
totally,
boss. Yeah. Yes.
yeah. Oh, I can totally picture that now. Oh, I never put that together. That's
Me
awesome,
neither. Yeah.
yeah.
I was like, oh, that he goes, yeah, that's the guy from there. And I went,
Yep.
oh, that's so cool.
Oh,
Yeah.
I
That's
totally
awesome.
see that now. Awesome.
Yes. And then Sean is played by John Putch. John Putch has gone on to become a pretty prolific like TV director and stuff like that. But back in the 80s, he had done this movie. He did a movie called Welcome to 18. And he was just kind of a cute little 80s heartthrob, you know. And a really like sweet actor. I like his portrayal of Sean a lot. I prefer his portrayal of Sean to Mitchell's portrayal of Sean in Four. You know, I just like
Oh
this
yeah.
Sean better.
Yeah,
Definitely.
I like this Sean that's like really afraid of the water because of the previous movies, but there's like a girl he's interested in that's getting him into the water, and I find that just really fun. As someone who's very afraid of the water, it's I can very much put myself in those situations and be like, would that make me go in the water? Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
The
Yeah, probably.
Beautiful Leah
Probably.
Thompson, yeah, in a
Yeah.
bikini, just
All right,
like,
I'm going into the water.
right, like, I can help you overcome your childhood fears. It's like,
Yeah.
you know, like,
Yeah.
of course
Well, they
you
did a good
can.
job in the movie with the brothers, I thought.
Yep.
This is kind of the only movie where you get that. Well, I guess you get that in number two, but obviously they're a lot younger. But yeah, I really felt like they were brothers. You know, you really got
Yes.
that big brother, little brother dynamic, and it was like it was fun. It kind of added some like heart to the movie, and it was believable too. You know, oftentimes trying to do stuff like that could fall apart and not seem real, especially with, Dennis Quaid on coke all the time. But I bought it. You know, I bought it as like the younger brother come to visit, and he's just there to have fun, and the older brother is kind of going to give him a hard time about stuff. And it was nice. It was a nice addition to the movie.
Yeah, and I mean, it's important to point out that though Dennis Quaid was indeed on cocaine in this, and he was on cocaine in Dreamscape, and he was probably on cocaine in Innerspace as well, he is a good enough actor that it doesn't ruin the role, if you know what I mean. Like he made that role in Jaws 3 very lovable. Like he had like kind of a good character arc in it. He's a good boyfriend, to Kay, and he's a hard worker, like he's very much like, hey, like I'm in charge here and straight time only.
No overtime.
No overtime.
No overtime.
So there's a bar where everybody hangs out, and I still am trying to figure this out. Is the bar, now this is be a question for you guys, just like a kind of like spitball and thinking about this, but like, do you think the bar is in SeaWorld, or is it like off sea, like is it somewhere in Orlando?
I
Good
think it's
question.
off SeaWorld, but everybody knows to go there. You know, everyone
Okay.
in SeaWorld is like, we're going there after, and then they go there after the day. But that's what I took. I took that it was off SeaWorld. It was mainly people who worked there, but there might be other people there as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel
I
like it's
agree.
right next door. It's like
Right.
it's
Yeah.
not in SeaWorld, but it's close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I
But
was
I've never
thinking
thought about
that.
that.
Yeah, well, because I was thinking about their apartment, right? Or not their apartment, but the house that they
Oh,
share.
yeah.
And I was like, is it like being in the military where there's, housing, kind of like on campus for SeaWorld, like kind of like how there would be with like Disney or something like that? Or do they all
Right.
have to live off campus? Yeah. So it's amazing the things you think about, like as an adult watching it, you're like,
Yeah.
oh,
I think I like the idea now that everything is in SeaWorld, that they live there, that that bar is there. Because here's how I think that bar being in SeaWorld would work, is that that's where like the kind of the lower class workers were having fun, and then you've got that high class restaurant that
Oh,
Calvin his
Neptune's
dinner at.
Neptune's nope.
I don't know.
Neptune. Oh, it's the Neptune Room. Sorry. The
Oh yeah, the
Neptune
Neptune
Room.
Room.
Yes.
Of course.
Right,
I
where
like to think
all
that like the
everybody.
higher ups go there and then the working class just go to their little dingy bar over on the other side of SeaWorld. But yeah, I don't know.
I like
I
that.
think that I would like to think it's all in there because
Yeah.
it is a really large place. Like if they're wanting us to believe that there's this underwater kingdom actually in there, then this place is freaking massive. So
Right, surrounded
that's my new
by
headcanon.
a
Everything is in
lagoon.
there.
Yeah, it's
Everything is
all
in
in the same
SeaWorld.
area. Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
it.
And we get introduced to one of the best 80s characters of all time, Charlene, our white trash waitress wearing an aerobics
Yes.
outfit on roller skates too. So there's a
She's
lot going
great.
on.
Huge. Love
Yeah.
Charlene. Big
I'm
big
very
fan.
upset. Very upset at
Charlene
Shelby.
is the
Yeah.
paramour, yes, of Shelby, who has unfortunately been eaten by a shark. She doesn't know that yet. She's just trying to figure out why he's not coming home. And she asked Dennis Quaid, and he's like, look, he's like, I told him to knock off, and everybody else knocked off. So don't know what you're talking about, right? And she says, if he's messing around with that little, what does he say? Tramp? Is that what it is? If he's messing around with that little tramp down at the souvenir stand, it's gonna be his ass.
Great.
Yeah.
Love that. Now, okay, I have a question because you guys are Canadian and not American, and I did not know that this existed or didn't exist, but the game that they are playing, that becomes sort of the meet cute for Leah Thompson to meet Sean, standoff, is that a thing? Like,
Never heard of it.
okay,
No,
because I've
never
never
heard
heard
of
of
it.
it either. I think they made it up for the movie.
I like
It's a
it though.
great
It
game.
seems like a good way to meet people.
Yeah, it really does too, because there's a lot of like it seemed like there was a standoff competition going on because
It did, yeah.
it's a whole crowd of people that are not dancing. They're just literally like standing in line going like me next, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to
I
touch
always get
hands and
this.
push.
I always have like a false memory of this scene too, because in my mind, Leah Thompson always says your fly's undone in my head, but that's not the way it goes down in the movie.
Oh.
He's the one who says my fly's
Yep.
undone, and she looks.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I'm not actively watching it, if you asked me, I would say, yeah, she says it
Oh.
to him. I just have this like false memory about it, and I can't shake it. Even again today when I
Interesting.
watched it, I'm like, here it comes. She's going to tell him his fly's down, and then he says it, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's
Oh
that thing
yeah.
I can't reverse in my brain. Right.
That's funny. Now, we cut to the only reason that this duo is in this movie, because it's not comic relief, but the only reason I think this duo is in this movie is because they were like, you know, we need more deaths. We need more completely superfluous, not violent in any way, shape, or form deaths. So we are treated to two coral smugglers, which I've been to a lot of pawn shops, and I'll tell you, that's not really a thing. Who Randy and not Randy, because Randy has a name and the other guy doesn't, who have taken a raft into the lagoon so they can steal coral from SeaWorld, which apparently is very easy to break into.
It's because everybody's already in there. Everybody lives there.
Everybody lives there. Exactly. They're just, I mean, because it looked like they were just climbing over like a very short
Yeah.
wooden fence, you know.
Yeah.
And so yeah. So one of them goes down and gets eaten, presumably. Then the other one gets pulled under and gets eaten. And then their raft capsizes. And when I was a kid, I thought that the shark ate the raft.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I always thought that, yeah, for
Like I
sure.
didn't know that it just capsized because it capsized. Like I didn't know that. I was like, oh, okay. I thought the shark just kind of art, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always thought the shark was destroying the evidence just so no one would
Yes,
find
that's so
anything.
good.
Yeah.
In keeping with our slasher movie
Yeah, exactly.
mode
Yeah.
here.
They are
Yeah.
these two are definitely in here just to raise the body count because
That's it.
it might have been like an after the fact thing because they are not in the same place that everybody else is. Like it
Oh
just cuts to
no.
them and they're like, "Hey, you're trying to like, hey, can you hear them over there?" But I like it. I like Because I like what they did with it. One guy going underwater with a flashlight and then
Flashlight.
that
And then
flashlight
the
going
flashlight
dark.
disappears.
Rules.
Oh.
That's
Yeah.
great. I love it. So
Yeah.
even though they just like got to throw it in there for some more kills, I think they did a great job with it. I really like these two.
Awesome. Okay, Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I like it too because it's one of those pitch black scenes. So it's very, very scary. Even though they're a little bit goofy, you can't see much. I remember it's restored nowadays, but I remember back in the day,
You
this
couldn't
was
see
one of those
anything.
scenes you couldn't see anything. You were just
Nope.
like listening to the scene because all you could see is maybe a little bit of
Yes.
moonlight on the water, but you can't really tell what's going on. But terrifying, like very, very scary stuff. So I like it. And then that also sort of sets up later on when the team of the main characters, they go down and they have to kind of do the same thing. We've already seen that the shark can kill people that are doing that. So it adds a little bit of tension for when our friends decide to go down.
That's very interesting. I did not think about that parallel there. That's really good. Okay. Yeah, that's good. All right. Then maybe that's why it was added. That's a lot better than just adding them in for a body count. So
I mean, either way, I like the body count because, yeah, And I feel like that was also, that's a bit of a throwback to Jaws 1 and those guys using the Thanksgiving roast near that
Yes,
dock.
it
For sure.
is. I feel like it's like the
Yes.
same two characters. So I like that homage that they're
Yeah, because it is
paying
two
there.
guys with like kind of heavier northern accents that are doing this. So in
I wish
stocking
they brought a
caps.
roast this time as well.
Right.
Like,
Yeah.
we're using the Thanksgiving roast to sink you to the bottom, so you better get a big piece of coral.
Oh my
To get the good
God.
stuff.
To get the good stuff. He's like,
Yeah.
yeah. He's like, guy in Miami, tell me, give me big bucks for the good stuff. And I was like, that's
Yeah.
not a thing. Okay. So yes. So we cut to one of my favorite scenes. I love this scene so much. Is the scene between Kay and Mike talking about the future. You know, they're walking along the beach and he's like, hey, I got some news. You know, I got this job. And I will be going to Venezuela. And she explains, you know, I have time left here at SeaWorld, and then I'm gonna go do this, you know, scripts thing. But there's also this support, right? There's this support that she has for him, like where she's like, I'm really happy for you. She goes, I'm happy for you. You know, you can tell that they're, you know, they're not a super established couple. You know, they're a couple who live together and everything, but they've only barely been together for like 18 months. So, yeah. So you can kind of tell they're sort of like having to kind of decide, well, how serious do I really want this to be?
Yeah,
And
you can
they,
tell that they
yeah.
like that they are there for each other. They want like they're happy for each other, but they both have their own lives going on and they're going in different directions at this point. And they kind of both understand that. They're both they kind of knew what they got into and they both understand that, you know, they might have to split at this point.
Yeah, and there's just that one little, like, she kind of puts her head on him and she's like, what are we gonna do? And
Yeah.
it's like, I've been there in relationships before where you're just like, you know, what, okay, what's our next move, right? And then it's juxtaposed by Sean, who has been talked into going and making out in a lagoon with the lovely Miss Leah Thompson, Kelly, and they're out there, you know, he's making out in his, basically he's in his underwear, right? She's apparently just got a bikini on for whatever reason, like because she is a water skier. I'm just going to assume she just has that all the time.
She's always ready.
She's
Yeah,
always ready to go
at any
swimming.
time, yeah, at any time you might need to go water skiing, so
Yeah,
it could just happen.
absolutely. Agreed. Agreed completely. So that's interesting is that like so Mike is the I wonder how to describe what Mike does for the I want to say he's an underwater engineer. Does that sound about
Yeah,
right?
sure. Yeah, I'd agree with
Yeah,
that.
I
Yeah,
think so. Yeah, because
he fixes the underwater stuff.
Right.
well, and he builds it. So I think
Yeah.
he is, yeah, engineer makes sense.
Okay, because I was thinking that too. Yeah, because I saw, you know, he underwater welds things, and I thought, okay, well, so he's pretty much an engineer. So then we get this like really goofy scene, which I love, especially being as a kid, I thought it was hilarious. You know, was her was Kay and Mike sneaking up on Sean and Kelly making out, and then he's got the bullhorn, you know, the attention, you in the water, you are trespassing on SeaWorld property. And I just love Sean's like, it's okay, my brother works here.
It's
Yeah.
so good.
And then she's like, I'm Kelly Ann Kapowski from the ski team. You
Right.
know. So,
It's
but
more
then
of that
it's
good,
just fun, you know? It's just
it's
a
more of that
fun
good,
scene.
like brother on brother action where 100% the older brother is going to prank the younger brother like that, you know? And then they get into like a full on fight because of it, and they're rolling around in the sand and fighting in the water.
It's
It's
great.
great for their relationship,
It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah,
I love
it's
it
great.
so
And the
much. And then,
sneaking up is great. Like, you know, Mike and Kay are behind like a tree, and
Tree.
then they're like tiptoe running to like the tents to hide, and it's so funny. Like,
It's so cute. Oh my God. Yes.
that's where Dennis Quaid is just killing it. Like, he's so charismatic in this movie, and
Yeah.
his little tiptoe run is so funny. I love it.
Absolutely. Agreed. Agreed. Like I said,
Yeah,
cocaine or no cocaine, doesn't matter. He's
it's
he
great.
kills
Yeah.
it in this movie. Absolutely. So like the next day we see that Mike and Kay live together and they have a hound dog that is not allowed to eat on the table.
No.
She like picks
He's
up
holding the
Maggie.
dog's ears back.
Yeah,
I always like to get the ears out back
the
so the ears don't flop in the food.
ears. I know. I love that
So
so
cute. Adorable.
much. Oh my
Yeah.
God. But so then Mike gets the call, you know, that basically something has happened, and he said, I had a whole crew on that last night. Well, it didn't get done. So he's like, I gotta go to work. So I like that because it shows that Mike is a really responsible dude, you know, like he's like, nope, got it. Obviously, you know, the boss called, so I gotta go. And you know, we meet obviously Philip Fitzroy in all his crocodile hunter glory, starts hitting on Kay, and Kay just shuts that shit down, man. She's just
Yep.
she is not impressed with his bombastic personality or anything like that. She's like, no, you're, you know, nope, sorry, I'm a spoken woman.
Yeah. She's in a relationship already. I really like it. I like that her basically shutting him down immediately.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No,
Yeah.
doesn't even flirt back either, dude.
No.
She's just like,
No. Yeah.
sorry, that is a behavior I just don't do. I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah. She's so good. Oh yeah, okay, so then, okay. So Dennis Quaid has his back turned, he's checking something out, and all of a sudden he gets hit by this bag of stuff. And Charlene is standing there in a purple jumpsuit, folks.
Heck yeah.
And she basically says, you know, he don't sleep in, he don't live in. She's like, you tell, this is my favorite. You tell Shelby Overman he can take a flying leap in a rolling donut on a gravel driveway. I have no idea what that means.
Wow. That's just pure anger coming out, and you not even
Yeah.
being able to put the right words together.
Amazing. So she's throwing this stuff at him, whatever, and he's kind of going through this stuff, and he realizes that Shelby is missing, right? He didn't like abandon Charlene. He is missing. Like, they're going through all this stuff. They're like, let's see, passport, driver's license, pawn tickets.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds very Florida right there. It's like, yep, absolutely. Southern accent, pawn tickets, right on. So they board this submersible to go look for him. And I remember when the skeleton shows up under the water, like I used to be just like, oh my God, like that was a
What
that's
did they
because
call
it
it? Monster? Is that its nickname, Monster? Oh,
Oscar.
Oscar. Okay, Oscar.
Yeah.
Oscar,
Great.
yeah.
And then they're gonna go explore, and Mike's like, okay, you stay here, and she's like, no, I'm coming with you. And it's like, oh, like she's just a woman after my own heart, man. She's just like, nope, anything you can do, I can do better. Let's go, you know.
I love that submersible. I think it's such a fun addition, especially when you see it as a kid. Like, what
Oh,
kid didn't want to get into
yes.
that submersible and cruise around, you know, under that lagoon? It's just, I love that so much. And you don't have to add that in. It could have just been a scuba divers, but yeah, the fact that they
Right.
had that is so, it's so cool. I think it adds a lot.
And
Doesn't
then,
really come
like,
into play at all, you know? It
nope.
doesn't like, you don't use it to like ram the shark or
Doesn't
anything, but it's
come
just
back
a,
later. But I
it
think it
just,
was one of those, because when it's going by, you know, you can see the little SeaWorld insignia. You know what I mean? So it was
yeah.
obviously something that they, maybe a toy that they had at the time that
Oh, okay.
was very popular. And when they're, you know, out and sort of exploring. Now, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. They are exploring the sunken Spanish galleon, correct? Is that,
Among other things, I think. I
yeah,
think they're searching,
because
it's kind of searching everything. But yeah, that's they get there.
that's where the baby shark attacks, right? In the
Yeah.
little like fake boat or whatever. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it just torpedoes itself right through the side of that boat.
Right into it.
It's
Bam.
always shocking how like violent and aggressive it comes through the side of that boat.
Yeah, because it
That's
just has
such a
its
good jump
mouth
scare.
open.
Oh man.
Yeah, it just
Yeah, it
has its
looks
mouth
so
open. It just
scary.
goes
Yeah, I can just picture
boonk.
like the crane on the back just ramming that shark
Oh my
through the side of the
God.
boat.
I
Oh
know.
my
It's so
goodness.
good. And then they got that great, you know, they're trying to get out of the water and the shark is following them, you know, and then like they manage to get up on the dock, but then they gotta close the gate and they're just like, argh. Like, you see the shark like try to get into the gate, right?
Yeah, it
Yeah.
rams the gate, right? Yeah, it's that shark's nose must hurt. It's
Just the
just
nose,
ramming
just
everything. Yeah.
That whole, the whole gate, I think that added an interesting dynamic to the movie that the other ones don't have, is this idea that this gate has to be closed all the time or else the shark can get into like an area where it's going to do, I guess, more damage to the marine life, I guess. Like that's where Cindy and Sandy are, and
Right, because that's what she says. She says the animals, they're in the lagoon. She's like, hit the she could say hit the gate, like close the gate. And Danny, who actually was a marine biologist. So Danny and Liz are actual SeaWorld employees.
Oh, okay, cool.
so they did a lot of like consulting stuff for the movie. And so yeah, so when he's trying to close the gate, and he's just like, it is, man. This movie is full of suspense.
Yeah. And I think the gate's a good like misdirect too. I think they're using that as well for later on to be like anything that comes in or out is going through this gate. But you know, later on we're gonna get something bigger coming in a different way. You know, it's not gonna be able to fit through that gate. So I like that too, that all of our focus is on this gate. Someone was killed at the gate, they closed it and the shark rammed into it. Like that's all I'm focused on in the movie is like, okay, as long as we keep this closed, we're okay. And
That's
that's not
great,
gonna be the
yeah.
case.
But
Yeah.
it's like, nope, they're on the other side of the gate now. Yeah. So, oh shit, you know. Yeah. So they decide, they tell Calvin, they tell Philip Fitzroy, okay, so there's a shark out there. And Philip Fitzroy is like, we should kill it on camera.
On TV.
He's like, we could
That'll be
slice
great.
open its belly at the exact right time, and it'll be. And then it was funny because Kay makes this reference. She's like, "What are you doing? Planning a network special?" You
I don't think that would be great for SeaWorld to
know?
kill a shark on TV.
No,
That's not going to get you the money you think it is.
it's terrible. And then, Kay says, "Well, you know, I don't know if it's ever occurred to any of you, but there's not a live great white in captivity. I did research on this, and they tried to do this in the 80s. They tried to have a live great white in captivity, and it just died. You know, like not, it didn't take long either. It was not like years either. This was like, you know, like 9 months or something like that. It's just because they're not meant to be in captivity, you know." But she's got big eyes with this, you know. She wants to she feels of it, she feels it's like, you know, we can nurse it back to health, you know. So there's this juxtaposition between her and Philip Fitzroy, who's like, let's kill it, wee, you know. And then she's like, well, let's save it. And then you have Mike, who has his own experiences to bring, who's like, no, great whites are killers. I know, my brother, my father, myself, absolutely not. So that's interesting because they bring in, you know, other canon stuff, right? So let's see. Okay. So I'm not sure at what point they decide that they're going to just capture the shark. I guess maybe. Did she convince them, I guess? Is that what
I
happened?
think so. Yeah, I
Yeah.
think at this point Calvin is trying to figure out what's going to make him more money, and I think he
Yeah.
decides that catching this shark is going to make him more money.
Right. Think of the lines at the gate.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
He's the classic corporate man who just whatever, it's just dollar bills, whatever brings in the
The dollar sign in
most
his eyes,
money.
I saw them.
Yeah, so he's I like kind of like I like looking at it from his perspective in that scene where it's going from like, oh, let's kill the shark because I can get you national exposure. Oh, that sounds great. That would make us a lot of money. And then, you know, Kay's like, well, what if we kept it alive? There's never been one. Oh, think of all the money we could make doing that. Oh,
That's
he's going
more
back and
money.
forth. Like, what else can you offer me, Fitzroy? Can we kill it and then do something else with it to make more money? Oh, let's kill it and serve it to people. That would make more money. Oh, what about you, Kay? Can you top that?
Right. We're gonna raise it and then we're gonna kill it.
Okay, yeah, let's do
Yeah.
that. We'll
We'll
get it
raise
bigger
it.
and then
Fall
kill
in
it
love
on
with
TV.
it. Absolutely. We'll raise it, we'll kill it, and then we'll serve it at the Neptune room. See? That's
There you
it.
go.
Yeah.
It's all of
Print.
it done. Think of how much
That money that would bring in,
would bring in a
too.
lot of money.
Let's do it.
So they decide that they're essentially going to go into the park, capture the baby, tranquilize it, and, keep it. I like the scene where they're going out on the boat because there's a scene where they hit the lights and it lights up everything in green
Oh,
so you can see the
love
water. It's
it.
so good. Oh my
So good. So you know
God.
what? If I can just interject for a second. So that type of lighting also 100% reminded me of like being at the hotel and swimming in the pool at night when they turn the
Oh,
underwater lights on. And so I
yes.
have that connection between that scene and me just being in that pool swimming around. And I always love pool lights at night, probably because of this scene and how like similar they look. I love that.
Yes, a total agreement. Absolute agreement. I love night swimming. I absolutely love it. It's one of the things, it's the only thing I love about living in Florida, literally, is the fact that swimming pools are very accessible. And, if I want to, I just go to my mom's and swim at night if I wanted to. I mean, I have that ability, and there's something about swimming at night with the nightlight, with the pool light on. It's just,
It's so
yeah,
cool.
man, it's awesome. Yes, absolutely. Fully agree with that. I love it. Okay, so important plot point, people. Philip Fitzroy's says, well, if we get down there and things get hairy, we just pull the pin. And he brings out these grenades, yellow. And they start arguing back and forth. Mike's like, I built the park. You're not gonna nuke it because, you're trying to catch a fish and blah, 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 back and forth, back and forth. Finally, Calvin, in his infinite wisdom, is just like, no grenades. So, but this
You
will
can't earn
come
money
into
by
play.
blowing up a grenade.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there's no way, really.
There's no way to make money off that.
This will
Yeah,
come
just
into
destruction.
play later. Yeah, so Calvin has hired his nephew as their as whatever he is, controller number one, and then I have an idea in my head that Calvin is actually sleeping with his assistant Lisa. And we will touch on this later as to why I think this is a thing. But I believe that he is currently making the beast with two backs with Lisa, and that is why later on he will choose to save Lisa over his
Right.
actual flesh and blood.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
right.
that makes sense.
Interesting. Because that don't make any sense
No, not at
whatsoever.
all.
I
Yeah.
have to believe something,
It's got to be true. It just has to be. He can't just leave his
Absolutely.
nephew there.
No.
Unless she's a better employee and
Right?
could
I don't
potentially
know.
earn him more
Yeah.
money in the future.
Exactly. He does
Right.
yell at
He's
him
all
quite
about
a
the
few
dollars.
times,
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Yeah, he does get mad at him because he's like, what does he say on the phone? He goes, "Well, switch off pump number one and switch over to pump number two." And he goes, "Cause it costs cause it costs too much to replace them when they burn out. That's why."
I always thought he was just running to hug the nearest person in that moment because he knew it was all
It was
ending.
all
He just
over.
needed to hug somebody.
He
It
needed to
was
hug
all over.
somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they get into the water, they end up, she they tranquilize. Okay, so Brody sent like a it's like an arrow, and it's attached to a balloon, and that hits the Fen. And then Kay manages to poke him in the belly, and then he basically, yeah, like they have their baby Bruce. They have their baby Bruce. And then we get treated to lots of baby Bruce puppetry.
True.
Yep.
It looks pretty good though.
I love it. No,
Yeah.
I'm the first to say when they do the when they're bringing him down. And they're trying to aerate his lungs and stuff. When they bring him down into the giant pool, and they're just kind of trying to soothe him, like I love that. Looks real to me.
It's great.
And so that's good. So then we have the opening of the Undersea Kingdom finally. So this is this big day, which is why Philip Fitzroy is there, which is why this is so important for Calvin. Because this is the big money day.
Yep.
Yep. And Calvin tells Ginger Spice, "Listen, I know the shark is basically being nursed back to life currently, but I want that thing front and center because there's people here who want to see it. And he's like, I run the park, I make the decisions, move the fish. And so unfortunately, and there, do you ever notice like when they put the shark in the like the you know the observing area or whatever, they have this like really shitty handwritten sign outside of it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like great white shark.
Yeah. It's
Like,
clear they just did that just
yes,
right
like they
before, stuck
just
that
yeah.
in the
Like I think Ginger Spice did it himself. I
Yeah.
really do.
Yeah.
I think he just
For
wrote it
sure.
out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Kelly wants to ride the bumper boats.
Yeah.
And okay. So my boyfriend is about 6'5" and weighs like 200 pounds. He's a very thin guy. I am not, and I'm probably like 5'7", right? I know that the bumper boats are not meant to have two people in them.
Right. Yeah.
So when she tries to get him in there, I am Team Sean all the way with this. Like,
Yeah.
I'm like, no, absolutely not. No.
Yeah, this is another one of those moments. She's, what will he do, you know, for her? How can she get him into the water another way? And it's these bumper boats that, yeah, there's no way. You would have to do so much to get me into that bumper boat and then to like pile it on with too much weight. No, thank you.
Also, as much as I am a aqua baby, you know, I don't know if I would get in a bumper boat in just open water, if you
Right.
will. You know what
Yeah.
I mean? Like,
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm that brave. I
Yeah.
really don't. So they're walking through the SeaWorld goers are walking through the undersea kingdom. And we get an awesome jump scare with the nasty half corpse of Shelby Overman that just
Yep.
floats out of like the kelp leaves, very, 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 very old, like very, very like Jaws, right? Like there's the kelp leaves. You always remember when the kelp leaves happen, like, shit, you know, something's about to go down. And then in, yes, a PG rated movie, there is a waterlogged corpse that floats
And this girl who just has her face shoved up against the
in.
window
Like
and
there are
just has to
people
scream staring
behind
at
her
it.
just shoving her into
Shove her up. You gotta pull her back. You gotta pull her away from that. Come on, help your friend out.
she's right in it, right? And then, oh my
Yeah.
God.
Oh my
Okay,
goodness.
this body reveal, I love it. I stand by it. We talked about how this is one of those scenes, right? This was one of those scenes. It used to scare me to death when I was little. Oh my
Yeah.
God.
It's great. It's a
Yeah,
great
I had
scene.
to turn away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't normally get these body reveals. Like these are the ones they kind of keep from you in the movies usually. So it was nice to see one. It was nice and not nice to see one.
So when the when, so first we have Mike comes down there and like, you know, does the sheet reveal? And I mean, it's rough, right? All we see really is like half a face. And the snake comes out of his mouth, the crab's, you know, over there, and he turns around and he gags, you know. And so then he says, "Yes, I will vouch that is indeed Shelby Overman."
Right,
So
yeah.
then Kay comes down the stairs, and both him and his buddy are like, no, Kay, no. And she's like, if it's a shark attack, I've seen it before. You know, very much like, you're not gonna deter me. This is my job. I am a marine biologist. I need to know what we're working with here. And then when she does the reveal, now we get a full body shot
Yeah.
where it is ribs and there's a kidney in there, and it looks like all of the skin has been flayed off of his body.
Yeah.
Bro. Like martyr
Intense.
style. Like
Yeah, what's the shark doing? Just ripped off all his skin.
seriously, like it really fucked up.
Sending a message. Sending a
Send
message
yeah.
for sure.
Exactly. Oh
Exactly. Yeah.
yeah, like see what I did, you know, like
Yeah.
So
This is
but
my lagoon.
But this scene is important because this is a scene where Kay holds her hands out and she realizes that the bite radius on the body means that the shark is a huge shark, right?
That
So
old bite radius.
that old
We
bite
know about
radius,
that.
yeah.
We
You
know
love
all
it.
about bite radius by now.
Oh my
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
Just when you
No.
hear that, I start to get scared when someone says bite radius. I'm like, oh
Of
boy.
course.
It's the
Yeah.
bite radius is too big? Oh, we're
Oh
screwed.
no,
We're
right?
screwed.
Yeah, the scene, okay. So the scene in the Neptune room where Louis Gossett Jr. Is talking to Philip Fitzroy, and he says, "This is marine segregation." Did not age well at all. I was like,
No.
oh dear.
Oh no.
But he did he but he makes a good point, because he's like, there's like a shark screen here, so the sharks don't come any closer than
Bubbles.
it's the bubbles, right? The
Right? Yeah.
bubbles.
Bubbles. I don't know
And
if that
then
actually works or not, but it seems
I
like
don't know.
you
Yeah,
might want
there's
something
a
a bit stronger than bubbles.
than bubbles, yeah.
there's a lot, I know, and it's so okay, because I had to ask. You know, I did. I was like, oh shit. This is one of those movies. I love this movie dearly, but this is also one of those movies where I have to do a lot of questioning, because I'm like, okay, why is he in the pipe? You know, whatever. And okay, so something happens with the pipe reading. This I know. Nephew calls Calvin and says, you know, just okay, so this is happening. And he's like, okay, shut off pump number one, go to pump number two, and then in shutting off the pump, correct me if I'm wrong, the shark starts suffocating and freaks out. Is that right?
That could be.
I'm not sure. I always
I'm not
think
sure
that.
either.
And then
I thought the
that's
pump.
how he ends, or she, that's how she ends up in the Neptune room, because she's trying to get out.
I don't know what's happening because I don't know if the movie knows what's happening, but
That's good.
what I always.
I like that. Like, I don't know if the movie knows what's happening either, Aaron, so that's
I also
okay.
don't care what's happening because it doesn't matter to me. It's like it's so out there anyways that it's clearly the movie just
No.
wants you to move on. But I always thought that with the pump being on, the shark was trapped because the water was being
Oh.
sucked in, and
Okay.
the power of how much water is being sucked in has sort of trapped the shark there. And then when the pump gets put turned off, that's when you see the shark sort of backing itself out.
Okay.
So I think that in
You're
my
right.
Well, that's always what
Yes.
I thought happened, is the shark got stuck, which is so dumb, you know,
Right,
that this
yeah.
giant shark would get stuck in there. But even that comment about how much water or 20,000 gallons or
Right,
whatever it's
20,000,
pushing out,
right. It's like a
I think they're trying
hundred
to let you
thousand
know.
gallons of water that gets floated. Yes, that flows in
Yeah.
there every hour.
I think they're trying to let you know how powerful and massive it is.
Okay,
And I
okay.
sort of just think that's what's going on, but I don't know.
Okay, I
Yeah.
love that. I
Yeah,
love that.
that makes sense. I've always thought that I just didn't know enough about filtration pumps to understand the inner workings of this movie.
I
I
don't
know, yeah.
understand. He's supposed to
Yeah.
be inside one of the pumps, but pumps are small or whatever.
I know the pump is how the shark, big shark, gets in, because the big shark
Right.
can't get in through the gate. I know that. It's too big to get in through the gate. So
Right.
I know it gets in through the filtration pump. But, and it does happen when the pump is turned off. So I don't know if it's like what you're saying, Tim. There's too much power and it can't get in when the pump's on. And then when it's off, now it can get in. Or if it's that it is, yeah, there's no water flow, so it starts to move in instead of just having the water flow before is how it breathes, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
I think
So
either way could make sense, but I don't know enough about filtration pumps to be able to say.
Because
And
it's backing out at one point, right?
it
That's
does.
true.
It
Yeah. Yeah. It
starts
backs
to
out. Yeah.
swim backwards, which sharks don't do, but
Yeah.
it starts to swim backwards. And my boyfriend pointed out that he thought it was because the shark needs the water in its gills, because that's how it
Yeah.
breathes. So if
Yeah.
the pumps were shut down, then the water's not flowing.
Well, because
See?
Calvin tries to
Nope.
shut down the pumps
Right.
on the shark later. It's
Later.
he
Yeah.
says shut down the pumps and we'll suffocate her. So,
Yep.
but in that pipe she was in, I think they closed it on her, so they were trying to trap her in there. I don't know.
But if the
Sorry.
shark was in there to breathe, that would mean that we have to believe that the shark is so lazy that it
Just
doesn't
chilling.
just want to swim around to breathe.
Yeah.
It would rather just go into a pipe and sit there because the pipe's blowing water at it.
I believe
So
that about this shark.
that's
I believe
also
that about this
okay. This
shark.
could be the laziest shark in Jaws.
Yeah,
That's
she's
also
lazy.
up
Yeah.
for
Yeah.
debate. I don't
She's
know.
just been chilling in that pipe for a very long time.
She's chilling. She's
Yeah.
postpartum, I'm
Yeah. Hey, look, she
sorry,
just
but
gave
she's
birth.
probably really
Yeah. She's
angry.
taking a break. It's fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
So Calvin seems to think that the shark swam through the gate that Overman fucked up, right? That's not true, because then Kay has one of our best lines in it, is that Overman was killed inside the park. The baby was caught inside the park. Its mother is inside the park.
Yeah.
To which Louis Gossett Jr. replies with, "Damn shark's mother!" Like,
The
which is
best.
really one of the best lines in
Yeah.
the movie. So good.
The shark, yes, the shark is in, and then they see the shark in the Neptune room, just kind of doing its thing, and then the growl, So they're like, okay, we need to shut the park down. We need to stop the water skiers, and we need to make sure that that Cindy and Sandy are safe. Protect Cindy and Sandy at all costs.
For sure.
So now we get a very coked out Dennis Quaid, running, I mean, tearing ass through SeaWorld.
Yeah.
He commandeers a popcorn cart,
Yeah.
which and it doesn't work out very well because it doesn't
He
get him that
rolls it.
far. Yeah, he
He
rolls
rolls it, yeah.
it.
And
Yeah.
I don't think it was on purpose. I really don't
No.
think it was on purpose.
Oh, that's interesting.
He
I
does
feel like it
many
was coming.
things to vehicles in this movie without turning them off. And one
Yes.
of that popcorn cart, he rolls it. Earlier, he a Jeep, he or no, he turned off a Jeep and it was still moving. It was still
Yes.
going. And he
Yes.
had turned it off and it was
He
still rolling
tries
down a
to
hill.
step off the jet ski as it's
Yep.
still
As
moving.
it's
That's
still
another thing he
moving.
does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because cocaine.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I love this scene because first of all, it's scary as fuck, but the scene on the beach. So we've got Philip Fitzroy is walking around. I love this because he's walking around in this proper British accent and he's just like, "Everybody get out of the water. Please get out of the water right now. Can you please get out of the water?" Whereas Jack is like zero fucks given. He is like, "Out of the water, out of the water." He's screaming, and then he hauls off and punches some fat guy. Like, he
He's
just, he
trying to
doesn't care.
save lives. He's out there saving lives.
He doesn't care. And then when the shark bumps into Sean and Kelly in the bumper boat, I remember watching this as a kid and being just horrified, right?
Terrifying. Yeah.
Because she falls in the water and he goes to reach for her and the shark like cock blocks him. Like he just
Yeah.
jumps right in front of him and then eats like a chunk out of her thigh. And it's amazing. It really
Yeah.
is just such a great, it's a really, really great scene. Kind of reminds me of Piranha, when they're all tubing,
Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
I think it was a
Sean
really
Brody
great
has
call
some.
not, oh, go ahead,
I was gonna say Sean Brody has some horrible luck with people
Dean.
getting bit in front of
In
him. People getting
front of him!
chomped right in front of him.
Right,
That
because
this is good. He was trying to get over this. This is what he was trying to get over, and then it
trying to,
just happens right in front of him again.
right, because like everybody knows, the most upsetting death in all of Jaws canon is Marge in part two,
Yep, for sure. Yeah.
100%.
He's left watching this horrible scene where Marge gets killed. So thankfully, Kelly's eye, she's okay, right? Like she gets carried out onto the beach, and then you see this like giant gash taken out of her
Yeah.
thigh. It's amazing.
I always forget she's okay because it's
Yeah,
so horrifying. You know,
it's
it's so
horrifying.
scary to work up to that moment that I always forget, like, oh yeah, they're out of the movie after this, but she's okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's fantastic. Like he's Sean's, it's like, "I'm going to the hospital with Kelly." And Dennis Quaid's like, "I think you should."
Yeah.
I
Probably
don't
do
know
that.
if I don't know if she's gonna survive. So yeah, buddy, you should definitely go. And Mama Brucette decides to ram the tunnels, which then cause all the water to flow into the tunnels and trap everyone. I love how Ginger Spice is giving the press conference, and he goes, when the exit doors temporarily delayed. And they're like, was there a large shark involved? And he was just like, when I know, you'll know.
Right. Yeah.
This is another scary moment. Just the idea of being trapped in these underground
Totally.
pipes is pretty
Yes.
scary
And then
for
the
a kid.
water is up to their waist. So then
Yeah.
you're like wondering, okay, what's in here with us? Right?
Totally. Yeah.
Urine.
It's
Urine is in
oh
here.
God.
There's at least some in there.
You know, it wouldn't take more than a couple of minutes for somebody just to go.
For
Yeah,
sure.
no, that's a thing. That's a thing.
Yep.
I will say one of my favorite just sort of side characters, if you will, is the Wisconsin accented oh, what do you call him? Tour guide who is just done with people's shit. Like she like people are crying, freaking out, shaking, and she's like, the water's not getting any higher, calm down.
Right. We're
Yeah.
fine, okay?
She's
Yeah, I don't know
just
what you're all complaining about anyways.
she's like, I know you're cold, but whatever. Like she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, she's great.
It's just like, I don't know why I'm here, right? Yeah, like
Yeah.
fuck Florida and fuck this theme park. So then we learn that they need to go down. So Mike has to go down and patch the tunnel. Then they have to put pressure back into it so that the exit doors will open. See, I mean, I wrote it down, but I still don't really understand how that works.
You got
Physics.
it. You nailed it.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
And I like that though, because that's you know, they're talking about it and they're like, well, why don't we lure her back into the pipe, you know, and then we'll trap her, right? And they're like, well, what if she doesn't want to go? And they're like, well, we can guarantee that she's going to. And they're like, live bait. So that's when this conversation occurs between Philip Fitzroyce and Jack, where, you know, Philip Fitzroyce is like, I'm going to bring my camera in addition to the things I'm doing down there. Like, I'm basically like, I'm playing like triangle, like to get the shark to chase me.
Yeah.
But
Bangs the
also
pipe.
want to get a selfie.
Right, yeah. I got a few things to do down there when I
There's a
get
couple
there.
things. And so
Yeah.
Jack is concerned, and Jack tells him, like, I really wish you'd just do the one thing. You
Right.
know? And
Yeah.
he's like, no, he's like, we need two cameras. So this is, and he says, this is the job. He goes, this is our retirement. Which,
Yeah, I'm gonna climb in the shark's mouth, take a selfie, and then I'm
right.
gonna try to get
Yeah.
out,
It's gonna be
and we'll be
great.
set.
You're gonna love it.
And then he goes down there, and the damn rope breaks. Like, the rope breaks. In addition to this, I love the fact that Dennis Quaid is putting on a wetsuit and smoking a cigarette at the same time.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like you do, you know.
Yeah, like you do. It's great.
In Florida. It's completely normal, yeah. Like I'm going down, I'm scuba diving, right? Which takes a lot of like breath, you
Right.
know, and I'm
Yeah.
sitting there smoking a cigarette before I
Might be your
go
last one. You never know.
down. They're
You got to
like,
get that in.
that's a good idea. So yes, the shark does of course end up eating, question mark,
At
Philip
least chewing.
chewing, because he
At
does,
least chewing.
there's some blood. There's some blood
Yeah.
action. And I think there's just this idea that he doesn't get swallowed. It's almost worse because
Yeah.
it's a combination of like, I'm being suffocated in an animal's mouth, but also like there's teeth here, you
Yeah,
know? So,
for sure. Yeah,
I think this is
this.
another point for the lazy shark argument where the
Right.
shark's like,
Tim's
well,
like, I don't feel like eating
it's
it.
like, it's in my mouth, but do I really
Couple
feel like
chunks.
swallowing right now? Nah.
Not now.
I just gave birth to a shark a couple days ago. Maybe later.
And she's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. T-shirt.
Couple things about this scene. When his rope breaks, I just don't know why he completely abandons the plan of swimming in the direction of the rope. Like he's gonna pull the rope to get back,
I don't know what
and
he's
it
doing.
breaks, and he just turns around and he's got a flashlight and he's just gonna hit a shark with a flashlight. Like
With his head.
that's his move. His next move is to fight the shark instead of swim towards the direction of the rope. Immediate turnaround and fight the shark. So yeah, he gets into the mouth, and as much as the Overman body and the Kelly leg, as much as that was the gore that scared me as a kid, this is what gave me the nightmares, was being inside the shark's mouth, because this I could actually watch. I wouldn't turn away because there wasn't a lot of blood. So I'd watch this and then I'd have nightmares about being trapped inside of a shark's mouth as it just went up and down and up. This is awesome. I
I
think
love it.
this scene from inside the mouth is so great.
I love it so much. So then Calvin decides he's going to have the bright idea to shut the pumps off completely. So he can as he said, suffocate the bitch. So he does that. And then at that point, also, Jack realizes that Philip Fitzroyce never came up. So he is devastated. This is like Oscar winning acting in this
Totally.
scene. Yeah. He's just,
Yeah,
he is
makes
devastated.
us feel it. We shouldn't really feel anything. Like we shouldn't feel like that bond really, because they've hung out together and they're always together, but you didn't really know how much this guy cared until this moment where his heart is actually broken. I always love this as an addition in the movie.
Beautiful, really beautiful. So, you guys are the best. I'm so glad I had you on. Oh my goodness. So Mike's gone down there. Kay decides, you know, hey, stand by your man, right? I'm going scuba diving down there so that I'll keep watch in case anything happens. And it's a damn good thing that she does, because the shark has gotten loose and it proceeds to attack both of them. And she taps him on the shoulder. She's like, we gots to go. So they end up back in that weird escape hatch, which I hope this is a real thing. Like, it looks really interesting.
It does. It looks good.
Because they like get in the escape hatch, and then they turn the little knob, and then all the water goes out of it, right? And then they just
That's really cool.
climb the ladder back into, mission control.
Yeah. I always love that in movies when they get into some sort of hatch, something, they're underwater, they get into it, and then they just press the button and all the water goes out. I think that's so cool.
That is really cool. I'm like, man, is that a real thing? Like,
It's got to be.
it saddens me that there's not more about this. Like, I have all of the DVDs. Like, clearly, I have the Blu-ray, the DVD, whatever. We have no behind the scenes. We have no featurettes. We don't even have a director commentary from Joe Alves, which is just like so sad. And dude's, he's 90. Give me, he's still alive. He's still with us. But I feel like somebody should do a documentary about this, right? Like, somebody should do something about this where they try to find everybody and, interview Dennis Quaid's weird Republican ass, I feel like they can just like get everybody together and talk to them about their experiences,
Yeah, for sure.
So it's sad because there are a lot of like marine questions I would like to ask, like, oh, did you guys go through training? Like, did you have to, figure this out? Was this shot on a sound stage? Is this like a pool? Was this, dude, so many questions.
Endless questions, yeah, for sure.
Endless questions. So back in the control room, the doors have finally worked, and now everyone is able to exit the park, completely full of PTSD at this
Oh
point.
yeah.
Yeah.
Never going back to
Yeah,
SeaWorld
SeaWorld,
again.
this is a PR nightmare at this
Oh
point.
yeah.
Like, there is nothing Ginger Spice can say that is
Yeah.
going to remedy this situation at
Yeah.
all.
I guess you should have just killed the shark on TV. I guess you should have
There
just
you
went with
go.
that.
Should have slit its belly on live camera. Oh, damn it. So then the shark decides to crash through the glass like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Just
Yeah.
flat out. And it's, for the fact that the special effects get the bad rep, because obviously Tim pointed out that these are 3D effects and it's not going to look good unless you're watching something in 3D. But the idea that a shark like bursts the glass and all this water comes crashing onto you and there's electronics involved and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do we do? That's a lot.
Oh, for sure. I know that like it's supposed to be bad. Not it's supposed to be bad, but like I know that it's bad. I know that everyone says that it's bad when that shark's going towards the glass.
Right.
But honestly, it's maybe because I've seen it so many times and I saw it so many times as a kid, but like seeing that shark coming towards the glass is
Ooh.
probably one of my like top 50 favorite movie scenes. Like I absolutely love that scene. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't want it to look any other way than that. Like it is burned into my mind. And yeah, I know jokes are made of it, but I actually just love how it looks.
It's a great scene. And then the water
Yeah.
just comes and then then it's a Calvin's got to make a decision. The
Who's he gonna
white
take? Who's he gonna
yeah,
say?
it's a, the white woman I'm shtupping or my nephew. And he
I changed.
chooses he
I
chooses.
changed my mind. I don't, sorry, Aaron. I don't
No,
think he was trying. I don't think he was trying to grab the closest person to hug. I now think he was trying to grab the closest person to avoid getting the glass all over him. He's just like, who else can I hold in front of me that'll take the brunt of the glass
Yeah.
flying at us?
The
Like
woman
it
I'm
might be his
sleeping with,
nephew,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
Or yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because they're so they're yeah, exactly. So yeah. So he grabs Lisa, who I believe has had has been hit in the head. Because her body is completely like, lifeless, if you will. And and he's like, yeah, you're coming with me,
Right.
girl. Whereas then the nephew gets the most amazing death. The Foley on this alone
Yep.
is just like his screams and then the crunching.
The crunch.
My
It's
God.
great.
I was like, ah, boosh. Yeah, no. Save the white woman, not my nephew. So that, but it's a great scene,
It's
right?
great.
Because
Yeah.
it's uncomfortable. Meanwhile, the shark is caught inside this thing like a cat with its head caught in a Pringles can. It's
Yeah,
just
totally.
around like this. And Mike finds a piece of metal and like bends it, which right there, I'm like, that's genius, And, and then figures out that I don't know how he does this, but I guess he sees that the shark, because the shark continuously opens its mouth because it's stuck inside that. And he sees Philip Fitzroyce's lifeless body, holding on to the bright yellow grenade and figures out that with the piece of curved metal that he has, that if he slips it in somehow and is able to grab it and pull the pin, as Jack would say, then that's all they needed to do. So they do that and then they hide underneath the counter. Which, so I don't know how grenades work necessarily. I haven't seen much grenade work, if you will. So I wonder how strong the grenade would have to be to blow up a 35-foot shark.
Yeah, I don't really
Pretty
know much
powerful.
about yeah, pretty powerful. I
I
don't know
don't
much
know
about
which kind of
grenades either.
grenades,
Yeah, I don't know much about the yellow ones either. I don't know about those. I haven't seen
right?
those very often. I do love this whole thing. I love that, Fitzroyce is in the mouth still. He's holding the grenade. He's the one that said to Mike, "You just got to pull the pin, Mike." Like he was basically making fun of him at that moment, and it comes back to be like, "Oh, I just got to pull the pin." And pulls the pin out, blows up the shark. Yeah, it is great. It's a huge explosion. Like that shark is destroyed. So I guess it was a pretty powerful grenade. Yeah, this is an awesome like callback to the grenade, to the whole thing, Fitzroyce being in the mouth. I love it. If we
Fantastic.
want the movie to make sense, then I would
No,
say
it's not.
that
Oh,
on the side
are
of
we doing that now, Tim?
well I'll just say, let's rephrase that. On the side of the movie making sense,
Okay.
I would suggest that that yellow grenade is a special underwater grenade because they were taking it underwater.
Oh,
So
yeah.
a grenade underwater would probably need to be a lot more powerful than a normal grenade because it's going to have to burst the water as well as like deal with the water pressure. So
Wow.
if one of those was to explode in open air or somewhat open air, my guess is it would blow pretty big.
Wow. I didn't even
You
think
got it.
about that. That's amazing. Yeah,
You never think
absolutely.
enough about you don't think about enough about grenades, man.
It's about grenades. And this explosion, especially as a kid, it was wild. It's like teeth fly at the screen. There's
Yeah.
intestines, like
Yep. It's wild.
a
Another very
spine,
sad moment.
you know, like just.
Yeah, very sad. Did this one make you cry
Another
too, Tim?
time for me to cry in the
Yeah.
movie.
Were you as
Oh
big a fan of
no.
this shark as the first?
No,
No.
I didn't cry at this point. At this point, I realized what was going on, and the shark
Yeah,
was
yeah.
actually killing people.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, is
Well,
protecting
here's
her
the thing.
baby.
I think with the first one, I think the parents were like, you can watch it, but we're going to have you turn away at certain parts. And all the parts they made me turn away at was when the shark was killing people. So I didn't know the shark was bad. It was doing anything wrong at all. I'm just watching this movie where I watch this awesome shark swimming around and then they
Right.
fucking kill it. And I'm like, why'd you kill that shark? It didn't do anything. But I didn't know any better. Now I know.
I
It's
love
killing
that.
people.
Yes,
Yeah.
no, but I love that. It's like you didn't know, so then you were like, what happened? It's like that episode of Friends where Phoebe's mom used to like not let her watch the sad endings of movies. So
Oh
like,
yeah,
Old
right.
Yeller lives,
Old Yeller,
Bambi's okay.
yeah, totally. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So I would
Great.
love this movie.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then we get this really awesome scene where, you know, it's like the sun is, oh, I love this because the sun's coming up and they swim towards the top and, you know, and then, and you know, God forbid we get Cindy and Sandy back. And then Cindy and Sandy come back and they do their little flippy thing, which they have not been doing. They have not landed the move the entire movie. And then all of a sudden they, you know, they manage to land the move, and then the
They're
music
pumped.
plays and they're pumped. Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, man. And then Kay like fist bumps the air. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I don't.
any sunset and sunrise scene in this movie looks beautiful. Looks absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
I know I
when.
don't like
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
was gonna say I don't like nowadays, I don't really care too much about those dolphins as I watch the movie, but
Tim's like,
I
fuck
just
those dolphins.
they're fine. They're dolphins, you know.
They save
I
the
get it.
day.
They save the day, but I do remember, you know, watching it as a kid and really feeling nervous at this moment.
Oh,
Like,
right. Because
are the
remember, one of
dolphins going to
them,
be okay?
right? Because one of them surfaces and the other one doesn't. Got it.
Right, yeah.
Right. That was a big moment. I remember thinking like, oh shit, I really hope that both the dolphins are okay. So while it doesn't really work for me now, and also I know that they're okay, so it's fine, but it really worked for me when I was younger.
Yeah, I love this movie. I mean, it's so nice to talk to two gentlemen that love it, you know, and like my partner loves it and I love it. And I mean, I'm wearing my Jaws 3 shirt, you know, which no matter
Love that shirt.
what, I
Nice.
am never getting rid of my Fright Rags Jaws 3 shirt. And I remember when these dropped. Like, I remember he like put a whole thing out. He's like, I have the whole Jaws collection, right? And the day they dropped, I went and I got the Jaws 3 shirt and the Jaws 2 shirt. I was
Nice.
just like,
Awesome.
mine. And they haven't all been back since. So yeah.
Ooh.
I do, man. I do. I love it. So it's
I love it.
awesome. Yay. Woohoo. Okay. So I love your show. One of my all-time favorite episodes that you guys did was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Ooh, nice.
It was so good. Like when you were like, and Leatherface forgot his keys. I fell off my chair laughing because it was so good. So talk about your show. Like talk about your show, where we can find your show. If people want to stalk you on social media, where they can do that.
Sure. So our show is called Talking Back. It's a retro-based podcast. We do movies, comics, video games, and other stuff. And it's really easy to find us. Just search Talking Back podcast and you'll easily find some some streaming service that has us. We're on Instagram. Our handle is at TalkBackPod. I do a me running that account is as lazy as the shark is in this movie. So you'll get it.
It's the
You don't
Jaws
need to
3 of
follow.
Instagrams.
Yeah, there's not a lot there for you to get excited about. But I just post each week what we do, what post of what we're doing that week. So yeah, but that's about it. If you want, some nostalgia, more nostalgia in your life, then check our show out. We have lots of episodes. We're coming up on like 350, so there's all sorts of stuff. If you scroll through the feed and you can't find something to listen to, then I don't know what's wrong.
I know. It's such a oh God, that used to be such a big part of my workday when I was working in corporate America. I used to put my headphones on and listen to Talking Back because it was just so it's such an endearing show. Like y'all's relationship and listening to, how you guys interact, listening to your background with the different things that you're talking about. Your excitement about it, that's what I love. And like, I feel like even if you're gonna point out sort of the challenges of something, you do it in a very good-natured way. You tease it like a sibling and not like a bully. And that's why I love your show.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I
Oh,
think we
thank
try to
you.
put a positive spin on all the stuff we do. There are a couple occasions where we just go hard in the paint against something, but it d deserved it. So that's not very often.
That's like
That's very
three
rare.
times in that 350 episodes where we're like, okay, enough of this.
Yeah.
We're going hard at it. But yeah, we like to somebody put in their effort to make that thing. Whatever, whatever we're reviewing, whatever we're looking at, someone did some time to make it. So we like to focus on what we liked about it and yeah, have a good time with it.
Awesome. I love that so much. It's such a great show. Now, also, you guys have the Revenge, Return, Resurrection.
Yes, that's with me and my buddy Alex have Return, Revenge, Resurrection, horror podcast. That's where you can get a hold of me if you wanted to message me on Instagram, because that's the Instagram that I run is Return, Revenge, Resurrection. Yeah, we go through horror franchises and we just take them one movie at a time.
Yep, and they made me do Halloween 6.
Yeah.
Hollow Rudd. I did Hollow Rudd for them. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
You got the Halloween movie that you like the least, but you brought so much positive energy to it. It was a great time. It was such a great episode. One of our highest listened to episode, honestly. People,
Really?
yep, people love it.
Oh, that's a thinker. Okay, that's great. Well,
Yeah.
thank you, gentlemen, so much for coming on the show. And for helping me understand the time change between Canada and America. That's important.
Yeah.
So
That's t not as easy as it sounds.
no, I
Yeah.
wasn't. Well, it's funny because when I got on there, it was 5:30 my time, and I noticed nobody had gotten on yet, and I thought, huh. So just for giggles, I Googled, all six of the time zones in Canada, and none of them matched. And I went, oh, I think we're way off here. So,
Oh no. I know.
so I'm just grateful you guys were
As
so
much
patient.
It was as much my fault as anybody's fault, but you'd think that something like it shouldn't be that hard, but I still screw it up. It's
There's
just
just so
it's
many of them. There's so many
I know,
time
but
zones. So many, but
six.
it's still you can count them on like on one hand almost. Like it shouldn't be that difficult. That's like it's like getting to the age of 46 and not knowing your left versus right yet. It's like, come
Yeah,
on, dude.
having to
How
like,
hard
yeah,
is it,
having to do this. Yeah.
Yeah, put your left hand up to make the L. Oh yeah, that's what it is. It's this one. Right. Thank goodness that makes an L. Otherwise it'd be completely screwed. Yeah. Well, no, thanks for having us and for putting up with our time zone issues. But
Oh no,
it's
you
always
guys are just wonderful. Just my like I said, I love Canada, man. I love Rush. I love you guys. I like Tim
Yeah.
Hortons. I love your
Heck yeah. Heck
I
yeah.
love you guys make everything you guys make living in America that much better, Like just to be able to listen to you guys talk and listen to you guys interact and to know that there's some good men out there that still exist. There's some good-hearted people that still exist, and that there's some positivity out in the world. because like I said, I live in the United States, and it's just it's a toxic turmoil buffet. But you guys are the bright spot, and so I really appreciate that.
Aw,
Thank you
thanks,
so
Aaron.
much.
That's so
Thank you
nice
so
of you to
much,
say.
Aaron.
All right.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, boys. And as usual, if you want to follow us on social media, perhaps you should ask yourself why. Social media is disgusting. But Instagram is where we are because we left Facebook. Woohoo. So you can follow us on Instagram at Manic Movie Monday Podcast. And of course, we love it when people write to us. And so, yes, guys, stick it here till next week. And as always, stay manic.